Colonel Cedric Layton's in the house, founder and president of Cedric Layton Associates. They're a strategic risk and leadership consultancy serving global companies and organizations. And he founded it in 2010, but that was after serving in the U.S. Air Force for 26 years as an intelligence officer, attaining the rank of colonel. He can also be seen regularly on CNN, where he is a military analyst, a good friend personally and of the show. Colonel Layton, thank you. Good to have you back with us. Colonel, we were running tight on time, so I want to give you the time to answer. So I'm going to give you the question. We're going to head into break, and you'll answer it on the other side. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely.
Oh, actually, no. I have time to ask you one question, then go to break. Okay, my bad. The Pentagon revealed this week the full list of $3.6 billion in military construction projects that are going to shelve to help build Donald Trump's wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, that's according to documents that were obtained by NPR. Lawmakers from Virginia to Arizona learned their states will lose millions in military construction projects as part of the plan. Virginia Democratic Senators Tim Kaine and Mark Warner slammed the move. They said their state alone will lose more than $77 million in planned construction projects, and all four military projects will be impacted just in that state of Virginia. Can you speak to this $3.6 billion in military construction projects getting shelved to help build that wall and what that means to the military?
Well, sure. Leslie, that's one of the biggest things here. Money in the Department of Defense, like in a family, is very finite. It's a commodity that you don't have a lot of. And when they earmark money for certain projects, they expect those projects to be done. And that's the problem that we have here. And there is going to be a lot of missions that aren't accomplished because of this. And, of course, the military families are going to be hurt by this. And those two factors, both operational and morale factors, are going to be a critical element in all of this.
Okay, hold on, Colonel. We're going to talk more about those two elements and those critical elements and more when we come back with Colonel Cedric Layton. We are back. He is as well. We are talking with military analyst for CNN, Colonel Cedric Layton, founder and president of Cedric Layton Associates, and U.S. Air Force veteran for 26 years, where he was an intelligence officer. And, of course, Colonel Cedric Layton attained the rank of colonel. Colonel, thank you for holding. Welcome back. We were talking about the military projects losing funding to Trump's border wall, and you were talking about a couple of areas, a couple of categories where these could have devastating effects. Could you go on?
Sure, absolutely, Leslie. One of the big things that we have to look at is the operational impact. So, for example, just in the case of the state of Virginia, you're looking at a cyber operations facility that is supposed to be at what's called now Joint Base Langley-Eustis, the old Langley Air Force Base, and that is going to be losing $10 million. There's another piece here where we have a Navy maintenance facility in Portsmouth, Virginia, and that area was going to lose $26 million. So those are just numbers right now. But the problem that you run into operationally is that cyber is actually the new frontier of warfare. So if you're not prepared in the cyber arena and you don't have all of the facilities that you need and all the people that you need to do the job of protecting our cyber networks, we are going to potentially pay an operational price for that. When it comes to other promises that President Trump has made about rebuilding the U.S. Navy, well, this flies directly in the face of that when the ship maintenance facility in Portsmouth is actually limited by these budget cuts, would amount to budget cuts for these programs. So that's on the operational side. And when you look at the impact on military families, the types of programs that they're cutting into here include schools. They include the types of things that will handle other aspects of military welfare, family retention, and that becomes a huge issue when it comes to keeping people in an all-volunteer military. If the schools aren't good, the families leave. If the morale, welfare, and recreation facilities aren't good, the children will leave. And when the children go, and find other employment, that is the kind of thing that, really doesn't bode well for future generations of military service. Those are some significant areas that, this border wall funding could actually impact very negatively.
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, I thought about the inconvenience to families, but not that, hey, they would leave and, you know, education, not just daycare, but also, you know, perhaps other generations who want to do what, you know, mom or dad do. Talk to us about how this impacts national security.
So from a national security perspective, if you are not ready with the morale of the military, you know, no matter which service, you know, the final element in military leadership really is, and probably in many cases the most important, is the idea that you need to increase the morale of your unit, the unit that you're in command of. So when I was a commander, one of my most important duties, as I saw it, was to ensure the morale of my subordinates. And when these things happen, you impact not only on the airmen's, in my case, personal well-being, but on all the troops, you impact on their ability to actually perform the missions that they've been assigned to. If you start cutting the types of operational elements that they're going to be a part of, so like let's take the cyber center in at Langley in Virginia, if you start impacting on that, you know, so you cut back on training, you cut back on possible operational assignments, you cut back on the kinds of things that they could be employed in when it comes to protecting our nation in the sense of cyber activities, that could directly impact not only on readiness, but on our ability to respond to foreign threats. And that's really, you know, from an operational standpoint, why this is so important. And if we lose sight of this, if we take money away from these types of functions, we tend to diminish the readiness of our armed forces.
Excellent. Excellent point, Colonel. Let's go to some calls. We go to Decatur, Georgia, with Reggie joining us. Reggie, good afternoon. Question or comment for our guest, Colonel Cedric Layton?
To you and your guest, I would just like to know, how do you stop President Donald J. Trump from allocating funds, financial funds, from the Pentagon all the way to his stupid, idiotic, moronic border wall?
Can you say that again, Reggie? You're a little bit,
Hello?
A little staticky. Can you say that again? You're a little staticky. Reggie? Could you hear his question, Colonel? If not, we'll just move on.
Yeah, I heard part of it. And so, Reggie, you know, I think what I heard was, you know, how can you prevent President Trump from reallocating funds like this? Part of the problem is that he declared an emergency with the southern border, and the president has some powers of emergency declaration. And what that means is that he can then reallocate funds to projects that will help alleviate to the national emergency. So we did something similar to that under the Bush administration, President Bush 43, with 9/11, and there were things that were legitimately moved around, monies that were legitimately moved around to protect the nation in the immediate aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. Well, in this particular case, there's a lot of debate as to whether or not there's a real national security emergency at the southern border, and also if this is the right way to handle that emergency, if you take the premise that there is one. So the situation is such that the Democrats in Congress are going to have a really tough time standing their ground and saying this is not what these funds were allocated for. That's actually what they'd have to do. But if they can't do that or find it impossible to do that or don't get Republican support, some Republican support to do that, these funds will be moved to the border wall, and that, you know, in and of itself is probably not going to do as much for our nation's security as these other funding programs would have. And that's really the shame of this whole thing.
Wow. You know, God, there's just so much to speak about. You know, when you talked about during the Bush administration and when you were in the military, Colonel, there are people when I'm on Fox who'll say to me, well, Obama did it for the, you know, when they considered a crisis at the border with immigration. How is what happened in the last administration under Obama different than what's happening now under President Trump?
So with the Obama administration, they did declare some elements of what amount to a national emergency, but they also went through Congress and, in essence, got support from most members of Congress, you know, usually Democrats in their case, but also some Republicans to help fund border security efforts. And the types of things that they did were not of the same magnitude financially and fiscally as what you see under the Trump administration. So the amount of money that they reallocated was a lot less, and it didn't have the kind of across-the-board impact that we're seeing now across the Department of Defense. So what you're really talking about here is, you know, in essence, we're looking at a threat that is not as severe as the president is making it out to be. And then you also have a situation where you're genuinely affecting military readiness, and you're affecting the ability of the nation to defend itself and to retain the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that we need in order to maintain a quality military force. So the effects of what's going on now are much more profound in a negative sense than was the case under the Obama administration.
Oh, wow. Very well. I wish I had you in my ear when I was on TV, because I didn't answer it that eloquently. I'll be honest. Thank you for that. And obviously not with the experience you have. You know, according to the list of those projects that NPR obtained through a congressional aid, half of them are overseas, and the domestic projects span both Democratic and Republican districts. Do you want to speak to that? This is not along party lines, and that half of these are overseas. What does that mean?
Well, so when they're overseas, Leslie, what you're dealing with there is an area that, of course, has no congressional representation. You know, nobody votes from, you know, some district in Japan or Germany for the U.S. Congress, obviously. I mean, the military members vote absentee, but they vote for their people in their home districts or the districts in which they are official residents. So what that means is there is no constituency, or at least not as active a constituency in a political sense, for overseas projects. These projects could be extremely important from a national security perspective, but because they're not, you know, the equivalent of pork barrel projects that, you know, lard up everything in a particular district, that's why they're so much more vulnerable. And with that, you know, the president, you know, is picking projects that won't have as much political resistance to them not being funded as would be the case with domestic type projects. And the fact that he's, you know, cutting it across party lines domestically means that, in essence, he's bargaining that the Republicans, the Republican districts, will still support him because of other factors, including economic and you know, sociocultural factors, regardless of military construction projects in that area. And that may only go so far. I think it depends on the district and depends on the project. The Democratic districts, you know, I think they have to feel that they're being shortchanged, and I think that would be the case in any type of situation like this.
One of the cuts, as a lot of people have saw today in the news and on social media, are cuts to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. They're going to be losing the funds they were originally supposed to have. Why is that significant?
Well, that's significant, Leslie, because the U.S. Military Academy at West Point is the college for U.S. Army officers. Obviously, there are other commissioning sources, but this is the principal one, and this is the one where the cream of the Army's leadership is trained. If the Military Academy at West Point doesn't get the funding that it requested originally and that was earmarked for it, what can happen is that the training can be a lot less rigorous. It can be not as intensive. It cannot, in essence, won't prepare them for war as rigorously as their previous training did. And if the facilities are allowed to age and are not replaced, then our nation's top officers will not have had the type of college experience and military academy experience that their predecessors had. And it also means that they won't have the same level of experience potentially that their Russian and Chinese counterparts are having. And that can result in some pretty difficult situations in the future, things that we can't really foresee right now. But the training at West Point is critically important to the security of the United States, and it is critically important that it contain the type of not only rigor, but also that it be brought up to date in a way that allows our military officers to achieve not only the highest standards of professionalism, but also the highest standards of academic knowledge. And that is something that is something that the American taxpayer really expects when they see people from any of the military academies, any of the service academies.
I want to read you a quote. It says, "The decision by the president to divert funding meant to support U.S. national security interests so that he can build a border wall only makes us less safe." That was from Senator Warner from Virginia. He goes on, "Taking money away from our military, including funding to support critical projects here in Virginia, will mean we are less equipped to tackle threats here at home and abroad." Do you agree with that? Does it make us less safe diverting these funds and specifically what he spoke of?
I do, actually. I think Senator Warner is on point with this because, in essence, he's saying what I've been referring to during our conversation, and that is if, these projects they go through a vetting process before they're approved by not only the Department of Defense, but also by Congress. And when that vetting process is complete, it in essence means the people have spoken and that we've prioritized things. We've decided that this is how we want to spend our money, and to in essence upend those priorities and put something in there that the nature of that threat is at least debatable, and the way in which we're ameliorating or fixing that threat is also some area of contention, that makes it really difficult for us to not only sustain our ability to operate in a military environment, but it also makes it much more difficult to engage in new operations if there's a new threat out there. And Senator Warner's point is very well taken, because these funding diversions can actually mean that we won't be prepared to do things that we need to do both at home and abroad. And that's going to be a critical shortfall in a way that we probably can't foresee right now.
Are you surprised that it's in both Democratic and Republican districts? I mean, Senator Martha McSally is an example as a Republican in Arizona. She's facing a very tough reelection bid. She's trailing right now behind Mark Kelly, who is the husband of former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. And she has a project involving a ground transport equipment building at a fort there, losing $30 million in project funds. She and other Republicans are downplaying these losses, but some are in tight bids for reelection, and a number of Republicans have said they were going to retire. Does this show that the president wants something? He really doesn't care about his party. He puts his personal desire first.
I think it does. I think, a traditional politician, would have looked at a project like the one at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. That's the one that you're referring to. And they would say, okay, I absolutely need this in order to gain votes. And under normal circumstances, the people in that district, or in this case, in that state, in Arizona, would see this as a very important element of not only military preparedness, but more importantly and more directly, their economic well-being, because there's a lot of money that gets pumped in to a district or to a locale if there's a construction project there, and if there's a military operation or some aspect of a military operation that is handled there after the building is put together and erected. So in this case, yes, it is a bit surprising that he doesn't really account for the fact that someone like Senator McSally really does need a project like this in order to attract, even if it's a couple thousand votes. Those couple thousand votes can make a big, big difference, and especially in a close election like Arizona's, could very well be. And it's interesting to note also that Senator McSally is, of course, an Air Force veteran. She's a like me, a retired Air Force colonel, and she, you certainly would understand the nature of what's going on here, and she could definitely stand to benefit from that, because it helps burnish her credentials as a defense expert, and failure to deliver something like this could very well impact her negatively, and could also affect the number of Republicans in the Senate come 2020.
You rock, Colonel. Colonel Cedric Leighton can be followed on Twitter at Cedric Leighton, CedricLeighton. The website is CedricLeighton.com, CedricLeighton.com. And you've just been listening to military analyst for CNN, veteran of 26 years with the U.S. Air Force as an intelligence officer, Colonel Cedric Leighton.